Good morning, everyone. I would like to thank each of you for tuning in with us here this morning. My name is Eric Hicks. I am the minister for the Hiawatha Church of Christ and the Sabetha Church of Christ. At the Church of Christ, our goal is simply to be New Testament Christians. The way we accomplish that is by speaking where the Bible speaks and remaining silent where the Bible is silent. We use the New Testament as our exclusive guide in all religious matters today. If that is something that you have been searching for, I invite you to come and join us for worship service. In Hiawatha, we are located at 3rd and Osage. We begin on Sunday morning at 8:30 for Bible study, 9:30 for worship service, and then on Tuesday evening, beginning at 6, we have our midweek Bible study. In Sabetha, we are located at 3rd and Oregon. We begin on Sunday morning at 10:15 for Bible study, 11:15 for worship service, and then at 5 o'clock, we have our evening worship service. And then on Wednesday evening, beginning at 7, we have our midweek Bible study. If you're in the area, we would certainly love to have you come and join us for worship service, and let us be New Testament Christians together. This morning, if you have your Bibles and would like to follow along, we're going to be in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18, and we're going to begin at verse number 20 here in just a moment. 1 Kings, chapter 18, beginning in verse 20. In this particular context, we see that King Ahab is ruling now over all of Israel. You'll see that in 1 Kings 16, verse 29. King Ahab was married to the wicked queen Jezebel. See that in 16 and verse 31. He was a worshiper of Baal and had set up an altar even there in the temple. We see that in verse number 32. And in verse 33 of 1 Kings 16, it says a very mind-sobering verse and something that very disturbing about old King Ahab, and that was that he did more to provoke the anger of the Lord than anyone else before him. Again, it's a very mind-sobering thing to say about a person, and that certainly, though sadly, describes King Ahab. And then another character that we're going to see in this particular incident is the prophet Elijah. Now, Elijah in chapter 17 predicted that there was going to be a drought, and it was going to last for 3.5 years. And once it started, Ahab started a massive manhunt for Elijah. We see that in chapter 18 and verse 10. And so we find that he had Obadiah inform Ahab, this is Elijah, told Obadiah, to inform Ahab that he wanted to meet. And so Obadiah, a little reluctant about that, but he did tell Ahab that there was going to be a meeting between him and Elijah, and Elijah assured Obadiah that they would indeed, he would indeed meet with King Ahab this day. And so when these two got together, we told Ahab to have all of the prophets of Baal meet him there on Mount Carmel. And we see this in, if you would, 1 Kings chapter 18, and let's look at verse 17 through 19. It says, "Then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, 'Is that you, O troubler of Israel?' And he answered, 'I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of God and have followed the Baals. Now therefore send and gather all of Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table.'" And so this is getting set up for, I like to call it the battle of the gods. You have the worshipers of Baal on one hand, and then on the other hand, you have the one true living God. And so it is going to be determined who is the God that we should follow. And so there is that that controversy back and forth. And Elijah says, enough of this. Let's just settle the matter once and for all. And here's what he proposes. And we're going to see this in this these next few verses. We're going to look at verses 20 through verse number 25. Now, what I want you to see from this whole story of this Mount Carmel battle that takes place is I want us to notice four things that stand out to us about our relationship or our service unto God. And we're going to see these each one of these brought out within this story. The first of these that we're going to look at is that when we are with God, we can stand up against a world of evil. Notice what transpires. Verses 20 through verse number 25. It says, "So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came together to the people and said, 'How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. And so all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, Choose one bull for yourselves, and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. And so you think about this battle that is taking place, the determination which God should be followed. If it's God, let us follow God. If it's a Baal, then let us follow Baal. But let us not be indecisive about it. Let us not be controversial about it. Let's just determine who's God, who is the God that we should follow. And so here's Elijah, and he's standing against 450 prophets of Baal. And again, when he's able to do it, he's standing with the Lord God Almighty. He's not worried about this battle. He knows who the real God is, and he knows which God is going to be able to answer by fire, and he also knows which one is not. And so he is able to stand up against the world full of evil, and he's able to make this bold claim before them. You know, let's settle this matter once and for all. And so Elijah, he's standing in great confidence with his God. He displayed a great faith and trust in his God by starting this challenge in the first place. You didn't see the Baal worshipers offering to do this. Instead, it was Elijah. He says, let's settle this matter once and for all. And so he displayed great faith in God by starting this challenge to begin with. And we realize as Christians, we have many great challenges before us in this world. And yet throughout all, we can still stand up against a world full of evil. We understand that as Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and following, Jesus said that you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its flavor, it's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the feet of men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and stick it under a basket, but upon a lampstand that it may give light to all those who are in the house. Then he said in verse 16, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And so Jesus gives us that great purpose in our life. He tells us that we are the salt of the earth, and we are the light of the world. And when we stand with God, we can be that salt, and we can be that light, even in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, even when the world is not always going in the direction that God would have them to go. We can still hold fast and stand our ground when we stand with God. We see that Elijah did this, and we certainly can as well. The second thing I want us to see is that when we serve God and we stand with Him, we will never stand in shame. Read with me the next few verses, if you will, in 1 Kings 18, and we're going to look at verses 26 through verse 29. It says this, So they took the bull which was given to them and prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, no one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. And it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he's on a journey. Perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. And so they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out of them. And then, when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. When we stand with God, we will never stand in shame. Here's some individuals. They had great faith in Baal. There is no one that would question their faith. The problem with their faith is it was invested in the wrong God. And so a God that does not exist, a God that was created by man, not a God that created man, but rather a God that man himself brought into existence, or allegedly brought into existence. And so consequently, since their faith was in the wrong God and in the wrong place, they did stand in shame, these worshipers of Baal. And you'll notice three different things that are very important for us to understand. about their level of shame. In verse 26, it says, number one, they were ignored. This was Baal, and consider who he was, or who he was supposed to be. He was that alleged god of weather. Usually when an artist would depict Baal, he would often put him with a thunderbolt in his hand because he was the god of weather. And so here's a god of weather that could not prevent or change the drought. And not only could he not change the drought, but he couldn't even respond to his followers when they asked for a very simple thing. You know, if you're the god of weather, then ignite this dry sacrifice during a drought. Shouldn't be a problem for a god of weather. A god with a thunderbolt in his hand, so to speak, ought to be able to handle it. But instead, their god ignored him because his god, their god, did not exist. And so they were ignored, number one. Two, in verse 27, they were mocked. Elijah took the opportunity about noonday to mock them. And we saw what he said about their god. You know, well, cry louder. Maybe he's sleeping, or he's meditating, or he's on a long journey. And, you know, just cry out louder. And so what did they do? Well, they did all kinds of things to try to get their attention of their god. But Elijah mocked them, and they were just simply ignored, as we see. You know, we think about this mockery that Elijah did. You know, we may do some of the same things in our lives today. You know, when our team is, we're sitting in there watching our favorite team, and they're doing really well, and the other team is just getting slaughtered, right? You know, we see this, and what do sometimes we do? Well, sometimes we reach for our car keys, right? And we hold them up, and we tell them to go start the bus. You know, it's game over. You know, we mock the other team. Well, that's what Elijah was doing. Long before we came upon the scene, Elijah was doing that. He was taunting them because despite all of their effort, despite all of their faith plugged into the wrong place, it was simply to no avail. And so number one, they were ignored. Number two, they were mocked. And number three, and this is the most important one, in verses 28 and verse 29, they were unsuccessful. They cried out louder. They cut themselves. They leaped over the altar. They prophesied. They did all kinds of things. No one would ever question their faith that they had in Baal. The problem was they were putting their faith in a god that did not exist and does not exist, instead of putting their faith and trust in the one true living God. And that makes all the difference in the world. When these prophets of Baal stood up, they were ignored, they were mocked, and they, most importantly, they were unsuccessful. No one listened. No one paid attention. No one answered. No one heard their cries. And so again, we look at this. When we stand with God, we will never stand in shame. We are not ignored by our God. We will not be mocked. We will not be unsuccessful, as we're going to see here in the next part of this. The third thing that I want us to see, 29 through 35, we're going to look at those verses. And that is that when we stand with God, we will serve a God, and we do serve a God, who cannot be and is not challenged. I want you to notice this, verses 29 through 35. Read this together with me, if you will. Beginning in verse number 30, it says, "Then Elijah said to all the people, 'Come near me.' And so the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, 'Israel shall be your name.' Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 2 seas of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bull in pieces and laid it upon the wood and said, 'Fill four water pots with water and pour it upon the burnt sacrifice and upon the wood.' Then he said, 'Do it a second time.' And they did it a second time. And then he said, 'Do it a third time.' And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and so also filled the trench with water." I want you to notice this. The Baal worshipers had their opportunity, right? They got out there, they cried out to their God, they cut themselves, they leaped over the altar, and no one paid any attention to them whatsoever. And here's Elijah, before he calls on his God, he says, "This isn't hard enough. You know, I want to show how powerful our one true living God really is." And so he says, "Build a trench around the altar, or dig a trench around the altar, and then saturate that thing with the water." And we find the water is going all over the sacrifice. It's filling up the trench. And we find that Elijah's great faith in God is being displayed. You know, it would be fun to look at the, to see what the expression on these Baal worshippers' face must have been when Elijah is drenching the sacrifice. Because God is a powerful God. He's someone that is not challenged by water. He can ignite this, and we're going to see that here in the next few moments, that he is able to ignite this sacrifice and to destroy all of it with the power of his might. Elijah had great faith in God, and he knew that God is one that was not challenged by these things. Today, we realize that we are also faced with many challenges in our own personal lives and our spiritual lives before God. And what this illustrates to us is that when we serve God, there is nothing that is too hard for our God to do. Let us always have faith and trust in Him. Let us go like Elijah did and have our faith and trust that nothing challenges our God. Things will challenge us, but when we're challenged, we put those things before God and we trust in Him that He can overcome anything and nothing is too hard for Him. The last point that we want to illustrate this morning is found in verses 36 through verse 40. Read this with me if you will. And what we're going to see here is that when we follow after God, we will serve a God who always exceeds our expectation. 36 through 40, read this with me if you will. It says, "It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are the God in Israel and that I am your servant and that I have done all these things according to your word. Hear me, O Lord, and hear me, that these people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And now when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And Elijah said to them, Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. And so they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kizon and executed them there." What we see in this particular passage is that we serve a God who always exceeds expectation. And we find that where Baal could not even make the sacrifice even smoke, we find that God, when He rained down fire from heaven, it destroyed the whole thing. It not only burnt the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, but even licked up the water that was in the trench. God wiped it completely out, showing beyond the shadow of a doubt that our God not only cannot be challenged, but He will always exceed expectation. Today, when we go before God in prayer, we understand that we serve a God who is not challenged by our problems that we're faced with, and He always exceeds expectation. In Matthew 6 and verse 8, Jesus tells us that our Heavenly Father knows what our needs are even before we ask. We also know that when we go to God in prayer, we must go to Him in faith. In James 1, beginning in verse 5, James writes this. He says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all his ways." So whatever needs that we have, and we all have various needs from time to time, whenever obstacle we're facing, let us always go to God in prayer with full assurance of faith, knowing who He is, how powerful He is, and that He always exceeds expectation. Lastly, when we serve God, we see that God always prevails over evil. The worshipers of Baal, they finally had the faith that God is the one true living God. At that point, though, it was everlastingly too late. Their faith had been plugged into the wrong place for too long. We want to make sure that our faith and trust is always in God. We are told in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Those that come to God must believe that He is, and He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. May we seek our God and continue to look to Him, look to His will, follow after those things that we might be pleasing indeed unto Him. And when we do, we know that we are on the right side of all eternity. Would you like to know more about God and His holy will for you? I invite you to log on to the website, HiawathaChurchOfChrist.com. That is HiawathaChurchOfChrist.com. There you'll find some information about the church, about the Word of God. You'll be able to submit a Bible question or make a comment about today's broadcast. We certainly look forward to hearing from you. Again, I want to thank each of you for tuning in with us here today. May God bless each of you, and have a great day.